Praise the Lord. So, I want to talk this morning about being prepared. I don't remember if I shared that. I think I shared that picture with Rich, so it should be going up on the website. Are we prepared? Picture on the front of the bulletin is the sign that says, what does it say? Dear future, I'm ready for you. Are we ready for the future, not knowing what the future is? Growing up in church, there was a lot of debates on the rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-tribulation, for those that don't know what that is. And in other words, before things start getting bad, or while things are bad, or after having gone through everything. And there's a lot of arguments, there's a lot of points of discussion from each viewpoint, and there's a lot of division within the body of Christ as to which is which. Which one's right, and, you know, one day I will know even as also I am known. My perspective on the whole thing is I had much rather believe in a post-tribulation rapture and be wrong than believe in a pre-tribulation rapture and be wrong. Because my thought is, if people are taught that you'll never really have to go through anything bad, and then you do, you will question as to whether or not you were lied to about everything, and if that would be part of the causing a great falling away. That makes sense in my mind. Not everything God does makes sense in my mind. How about you? You know, there are things that God does that I don't think I would have done things that way. For instance, putting me up here, that's not what I would have done. But in being prepared, it's not just about when's the rapture going to happen. Because how many times do you drive down the road and you see a car wreck? We never know. Since I moved to Vermont, one of the people that I met relatively early on actually rented a room from this lady was Luella Cattell. Those from Franklin County might be familiar with Cattell's Guests, which has been gone for, well, I've been in Vermont for 20 years. It's been gone for 19 years now. But Luella Cattell, when I met her, was 102 years old. Short little woman. And at 102 years old, she was running a boarding house in St. Albans that her father had built. And I came home from work one day waiting tables at the local restaurant, and I find Luella Cattell on her hands and knees scrubbing the kitchen floor with a washcloth at 102 years old. Deb and I had a grandson that lived 2 weeks. We do not know how many days we have. When we talk about being prepared, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, well, according to Scripture, this has got to happen, this has got to happen, this has got to happen before Jesus comes back. But there's nothing in Scripture that says you can walk out the door and still be standing when you get off the steps. So being prepared isn't about necessarily being ready for what's going to happen way on out there. It's how do we stand right now? Where are we at right now? What is our heart doing right now? 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 13. Peter says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Let me just stop that verse right there. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Well, if we look at the divisions in our country today, there's a debate on what's good. There's a debate on what people considered right. And it's not just, you know, people out on the street. You see news articles where religious leaders from certain denominations and certain groups are praying blessings on Planned Parenthood and, you know, clinics where they perform abortion. There's a debate even there in what is good. Now, if all life comes from God, God knit us together in our mother's womb, I'm a firm believer that we shouldn't harm the innocent. That's what my Bible tells me. I don't know how they get to a point where they consider that to be wrong. I don't understand that. But Peter says, who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? In our culture, we can't even agree as a culture on what is good. The Bible tells us that. That in the last days, there will be those who call evil good and good evil. We see that. It's going on around us. But if we follow our conscience, if we follow how God is leading us, there are people who will come in opposition to us. Peter here doesn't say it won't happen. He says, who is this person? It's a person that's messed up. It's a person who's confused. And again, we have to remember that people are not our enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. People are not the enemy. People can be deceived, can be confused, can be tools of the enemy. But it's not them. They're still made in the image of God. And we should still be praying for those who persecute us, those who despitefully use us. Verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter says that, or Peter doesn't say that we won't be persecuted. He says, whether or not you are, be ready to share the hope that is in you. That it always becomes an opportunity to communicate with people. If you're being questioned, if you're being pushed, if you're being persecuted, there's an opportunity. Look at it as an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that's in you. With meekness and fear. I'm right and you're wrong. That doesn't work. Say, you know, there are things, so many things I don't understand, but this is what I know. I know I was messed up. And God poured His love out upon me and changed my life. Now, why did He do it for me and not for you? I don't know. I don't know your story, but I know this. When I stopped running from God and turned around, I found out He was right there. When I realized that I had made a mess of my life and asked Him to come into my heart and change my heart, He did. Have you asked? It becomes a question. It becomes an open door. It becomes a way to share the gospel. It becomes something that we can reach out to people. If we're willing, no matter what our circumstances are, to try to look for an opportunity to share that. Peter says, always be ready. It's being prepared. Dear future, I'm ready. Whatever comes, I'm ready. That's a pretty bold picture, you know. Yet we should strive to be ready in whatever our circumstances are, to share the love of God, to know who we are in Christ, and to share that confidence and that peace that comes from that. That we don't control the circumstances, but we know who does. And that as long as we are in the will of God, as long as we are seeking His face, as long as we are seeking His direction, whatever happens to this physical body really doesn't matter. Because whether we live 2 weeks or 103 years, in light of eternity, it's not even a finger snap. It's nothing. Yet here we are. This is what we focus on so much of the time. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than to suffer for evil. Notice it says, when they defile you, when they defame you as evildoers, when they accuse you, not if, when. What are we doing? Are we doing what's right? Are we being faithful to God even in our, no matter what our circumstances are? Are we being prepared that no matter what pressures come on, and yes, there's going to be pressures. And yes, just like the refining of gold, when the pressures come up, sometimes the impurities come to the surface. But that's so the refiner can take it off. That's so we can realize, Lord, you're still at work in me. Lord, I still need you. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Purify me. So many times we get to a plateau. We get to a level where things seem to be coasting along. I haven't cussed anybody out recently. Praise God. I haven't been sarcastic and smart to somebody. I haven't done this, but things that were part of who I was. And then something will come up and it's like, ooh, it didn't come out of my mouth, but it sure popped into the back of my mind. Lord, you're still there. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, make me whole. I was a sailor for 14 years. I could not have a conversation that didn't include words that should not be uttered in, should not be uttered, period. Forget in this group or that group, should not be uttered. I couldn't do it. And God has changed me so much. He is still at work. But every once in a while, that pressure has to come up. We have to get more heat. We have to get more pressure in our refining process so that the things we think we're dealt with, but are really just got most of it, but not all of it. They're just no longer part of the surface things. It can come up so that we can turn it over to the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, purify me. Lord, make me righteous. Lord, help me to be a light. Father, forgive me for hanging on to things that I thought I'd letting go of. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 1. That's what I thought. I thought that looked really, really funny. Those of you listening online, in the bulletin, what we're going to be looking at is Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. What made it to the bulletin is Matthew 25, verse 13. I was thinking there was a lot more to this scripture than that when I was putting it up there. But let's expand this out just a little bit.
Are you recording?
I am recording. Oh, yeah.
I didn't call you saying hi, Jackie.
You're right. Hi, Jackie.
Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day, Jackie.
And
Mark, Terry. Okay, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Oh, no. That's when you really do good, is when you start there and trying to correct this and wipe out the whole set. And I almost did that. What's that?
It's nice to ask you twice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, sometimes I'm like, yes, oh no.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, praise God. Okay, so Matthew 25, beginning with verse 1, says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." All of this is talking about giving examples about when the Lord returns. But as I mentioned before, it's one thing to set our mind on being ready for the Lord's return. It's something else entirely to live our life ready, that no matter when our last breath is, we are prepared for it. Each and every one of us will have circumstances in our lives where we're tempted. Each and every one of us will have circumstances in our lives where we recognize we really, really, really need Jesus. Sometimes it's a, "Ooh, I shouldn't have said that." Sometimes it's a, "Ooh, I shouldn't have done that." Sometimes, and so many times, it's in retrospect, "I shouldn't have done that. There had to have been a better way of me to dealing with that." Praise God for His grace and mercy, that He's still at work in us, stirring in us, drawing, bringing things to remembrance. Times where maybe we've been short with others. I'm a semantics guy. I believe words are important, and the problem with that is sometimes I'm not as clear spoken as I would like to be, because sometimes I say things in such a way that it doesn't bring grace to the hearer, you know. Sometimes, so often, I have to go back and apologize. I have to go back and say, "I am so sorry." I have to say it to my wife. I have to say it to coworkers. Well, I don't have to say it to very much coworkers anymore now that I'm retired, but other people, people that I interact with, because I still need Jesus each and every day to change me. Each and every one of us to draw us closer to Him, to work through us, to be glorified in us. The wise and foolish virgins knew that the bridegroom was coming, knew that the Lord was coming. And some of them not only had what they needed for the moment, but they had things stored up. They would say, "Lord, continue to change us." Whether or not I have an opportunity to share this, whether or not I have an opportunity to speak into this situation, whether or not I have an opportunity to do this, I still need you to work in me, Father, to make me more like Jesus. Each and every one of us need that. People will come in our path. And we talked in Peter about always being ready to give a reason for the hope that's in us. Sometimes the only way we get to share the hope that's in us is when somebody gets in our face. I don't like that. Do you like that? I don't like people getting in my face. In fact, the biggest thing I struggle with is being falsely accused. Being accused of doing something that I haven't done. That's one of those things that, still needs to be submitted to the Lord. It's one of those things where that's one of those tests that keeps coming up. That's one of those ways the pressure and the heat gets turned up in my life. It's when I'm accused of doing something I haven't done. Not that I'm anywhere near innocent or anywhere near righteous. But it's one thing to get accused of doing something that you've done. It's something else entirely to get accused of doing something you haven't done. At least for me. That's an area that I have a struggle in. But each and every one of us, we're called to be prepared and to be ready. Always being ready to give an answer. Always being ready because we don't know what's coming. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36, says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and there did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Each and every one of us have been called by God for his purposes, have been gifted in ways that, given the things that God knows we need for the tasks that are set before us. Each and every one of us is called to be a light and a witness to the people around us. Each and every one of us has called to be a blessing to the people that come in our path. And we have a responsibility not only to the people we encounter, but a responsibility to the Lord to share what God has given us, to share hope, to share encouragement, to share blessings. And so often we do it. And so often we find missed opportunities as well. But we are called because God pours into us, we are to pour out to people around us. And we are to be ready because no matter what day or what hour the Lord returns, or what day or what hour we draw our last breath, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says some men's sins go beforehand unto judgment, others come following after. Those that we've repented and poured out our heart to the Lord, ask for his forgiveness, covered by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future. Our sin has gone before the Lord. But what about those people we encounter that don't know him? Their sin follows after the judgment. We are called to be lights to the people around us. There are people in your circle. There are people that you run across from time to time. Maybe every day, but from time to time, who aren't going to hear the gospel from anybody else. They're not going to hear about the love of God from anybody else. Maybe they won't hear it from you, but let it not be because we don't try. Be prepared to share the love of God with people. Be prepared to encourage people. Be prepared to be a light as we walk throughout this world. Because we don't know when it's going to be our last opportunity. We don't know when is going to be our last breath. We don't know when, as the parable of the virgins, when the bridegroom is coming. We don't know when that's going to happen. As the one we just read, where the master has appointed servants to watch over the house and to give them food and drink in due season, to encourage people, to strengthen people, to lift them up, to share the love of God with them. We don't know when He's going to come back. Is He going to find us doing the things He's called us to do? Whatever our last day is, whether it's the day that we're taken up to meet the Lord in the air, or the day that we walk out and meet the truck. You know, we don't know what the day's going to be. Each and every one of us, though, we give an account for what we've done in this life. In Psalm 90, beginning with verse 10. The psalmist says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to use the days that you've given us, however many they are, and not say, oh Lord, next year I want you to use me in this way. Lord, what can I do? How can I be a blessing today? What can I do today to encourage people? What can I do today to be a light? Not just to number our days, 70 years, 80 years, 2 weeks, 103 years. Not just to number the total length of days, but teach us to number and use the days we have. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We all know the verse. We all sing, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has... We know these things, but do we really put them in practice each and every day? Yeah, that one. It's on the wall over there. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Of course, last passage of Scripture, Jesus spoke a parable to the Luke 12, 16 to 20. Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There I will store up my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Whatever we have. And don't get me wrong, God blesses people. The blessings of the Lord pour out in many, many ways. And I am not saying we should not enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But I'm saying our focus should not be on the things that we have. Our focus should not be on what God has given us. But our focus should be on how can we share God's love with people. Sometimes it's going to be physical. Sometimes it's going to be financially. Sometimes it's going to be just reaching out in some different way to encourage. Sometimes it's going to be, how can I be a light? Every year, this church takes on Angel Tree Kids. We've just got the list the other day. These are children who have a parent that's incarcerated. We got a list of 7 children right now, and I haven't had a chance to contact the families yet, because we always want to make sure that if there are other children in the household, you're not bringing a gift to one kid. You know, this is a family that's taken in. In some cases, they've taken in a niece or a nephew who have a parent incarcerated. Sometimes it's a grandchild. So we try to be a blessing not only to the children and family, but also to the families themselves. We tried for many years to get the families to come over for a dinner. And we generally have them scattered out. We have gone as far as Hardwick, that way. What was that town? I cannot think of the name of the town, but we were on... You go up to Lion Mountain, and you take a right, and you farther over, north of Lion Mountain toward 11.
Cherubusco?
Not quite Cherubusco, but a little short town in there. We have been given kids in Hinesburg. It's not very often we get some close by. We do have some in Grand Isle this year. But having tried to get the people to come, and there's only been one time where one family came for a meal.
And it was in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah, in the middle of a snowstorm. We had a family come from Georgia for that time. So what we do is we provide the things for a holiday meal for them. Generally, it's a ham and a bag of potatoes and some canned corn and a three-bean salad and a cake mix and all the fixings to make a dessert and things like that that we provide to the family to feed them. It's a little thing, but how can we be a blessing? What is it that we can do either as a group or individually to bless other people? Because we are here for a purpose. We are here to share the love of God. If God didn't have a use for us being here, there's no reason why He'd let us live. Just more temptation, just more turmoil, just more problems. But He has us here for a reason, and God doesn't waste anything. But since we are here, we are called to share the love of God to the people around Him. People around us. This parable that I just read, the ground of the certain rich man brought forth abundantly. And he says, oh, I don't have enough to keep everything that's coming in. Well, he never got to see what was coming in. He got enough to predict what might be coming in. But notice he says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. He never made it through the day. So what are we doing today to share God's love, to share God's blessing, to be God's hand and feet? What are we doing today to impact the lives of others? Because we don't know the days we have. Are we prepared? Dear future, I'm ready. Are we prepared for when we step out the door? What are we going to do today to share God's love with people? What are we willing to do today to share God's love? How are we willing to be a light? Next week, next weekend, when Jerry's in Philadelphia and you guys are up in Canada and Deb and I are over in New Hampshire and Sue's at work, are we willing that no matter what comes up, are we willing to share the love of God? When you leave here today and you get a bite to eat, if you're around other people, are we willing to share the love of God, to encourage them, to lift them up, to greet them, to smile? What does it take to brighten somebody's day? Sometimes all it takes is a smile. Jerry, as we were getting ready to pray, Jerry talked about people that are lonely and have lost loved ones. So many people are down and dejected. Feel that nobody cares. A smile goes a long way. A greeting goes a long way. And if you ask somebody how they're doing and they begin to tell you, don't be like a Navy lieutenant was many, many years ago back on my first ship. He asked me and another guy, we're walking down the passageway, walking down the hall on the ship. And the lieutenant said, how's it going? And my friend proceeded to tell him. And he finally said, I really didn't care. I was just trying to be polite, and brushed on. We don't want to be that way. Because you never know what it's going to take. Are we prepared to show God's love? Are we prepared to be a blessing? If somebody decides they want to talk your ear off, are we willing to let them? couple of years ago, Deb and I were over in Taylor Park. We were with God's Vision Ministries. They were doing some praise and worship in the park. And there was this one person there, and he just wanted to talk. So I sat down and talked with him. Later, Matt Luno, the organizer of the thing, says, "What was all that about?" I said, "He just wanted to talk." He said, "And you stopped and listened with him?" I'm like, "Yeah." It was nothing. It was a simple thing. Amen. If God is wanting us to take the time to stop and talk to somebody, we don't know the impact it's going to have until we get to the other side. Until we get to heaven. Until we can take a look and see. You know the song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." We don't know the impact we have in people's lives because we just see a little smidgen of it. But God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. God is the one who knows exactly what He's doing. Are we prepared to do whatever it is God calls us to do? Are we prepared to be obedient even when we don't understand what's happening? Praise the Lord. Father, we just come before You. And Lord, we thank You that we don't understand the things that are going on. We don't know the number of our days. We don't know how You are using even what seems to be the simplest little thing. But we do know, Lord, that You are God over all, and that You are the one who sees the end from the beginning, and that You are the one who knits hearts together, and that You are the one who helps us, Father, to give seed that we could sow, who gives us water that we can water the seed that's already been sown. You're the one who helps us, Father, to be in the right place at the right time, to reap and to harvest. But Lord, as we walk out, as we step out the doors being obedient, as we step out through going through our lives, sharing Your grace to the people we encounter, we recognize, Lord, sometimes it's going to fall on hard ground. Sometimes it's going to be a difficult situation. But if we are submitted to You and committed to You to do Your will, Father, that You will not allow Your word to return void, that You will make a difference and make an impact and bring forth fruit. So, Father, we thank You for it. Help us, Father, to be prepared always, Lord, to share Your love. Prepared always, Father, to give an answer for the hope that is in us. Help us, Lord, always to be prepared because we don't know what's coming upon the earth. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming later today. But if our heart is set to follow You, if our heart is set to be obedient to You, that it doesn't matter what comes up. What matters is that You be glorified. What matters is people get introduced to You. What matters is we are obedient to what You've called us to do. And we thank You, Father, for Lord, You're the one who works even that in us. We give You all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.